Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. We've got a fun show for you today. It's Real Estate Mastery. We're going to be sharing with you the top seven conversations that your sellers and buyers will be expecting you to have mastery of. And these are going to be the things that are going to be on their minds, their concerns about the market, but also market conditions. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to give you conversation outlines, also known as scripts, so that you will know what to say, how to say it, how you will be able to answer their questions thoroughly, and then they'll want to do business with you. So everyone should be very compelled to listen to what these points are, because it'll obviously result directly in you being put in a position to help people and make money.
That's right. Remembering that knowledge equals confidence, and ignorance equals you freaking out when they ask you about mortgage market trends. What do you think about that? Builder incentives. So these are essentially your talking points. Many of you have asked either in email or on your sessions with your coaches, you want to have more conversations, you want to generate more business, but you're not sure what to say. You're not sure how to say it, so you end up being a secret agent and you end up with less business. So we're here to help you with these talking points.
Now, the talking point notes, of course, are available exclusively to Harris Real Estate Daily subscribers, and the subscription is free. Just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com, and the notes are all there. Of course, there's a link down below in the show description, but just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com and you can subscribe to the newsletter. And the newsletter is going to have obviously all the show notes, but we're also going to have a lot of exclusive content just for the show. I'm sorry, just for the newsletter subscribers. Starting with, I think what all of you will agree, it's going to be very interesting, are a lot of interviews that I'm doing. And these interviews, some of them are straight up normal interviews, but I would say probably 80% of them work into be somewhat elaborate coaching sessions.
Yes, I've enjoyed listening on the sidelines to those.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been having to work a little extra hard than I anticipated when I came up with the idea of just doing a bunch of interviews.
Yes, but you're doing a great job on that.
Yeah, well, it's fun, actually. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a great way for these guys to be exposed to the fact that they're not alone. You know, a lot of times when you're, an individual practitioner or an entrepreneur, you're on your own island, you don't have, mentally and emotionally, sometimes you feel a little bit cast out to the wind. Well, it always is a good feeling to listen to other people share their same challenges that they're having and listen to viable solutions being presented, because then you don't feel so alone. And then you realize that, guess what, all of us are kind of experiencing the same thing because of this market, and all of us can get this through this together. That's going to be one of the benefits, I think, of listening to these interviews. Anyway, exclusively available to harrisrealestatedaily.com subscribers. Go there ASAP, and those interviews, as promised, are going to be going live probably the next 30 days or less. HarrisRealEstateDaily.com is going to be a little passion project of Julie and I's, mm-hmm. because we're going to be writing a lot of new content. Julie's obviously very prolific with her writing. She writes for a lot of national association and state associations and the rest of it. We got an interview, I think it's tomorrow, Julie, with Florida Association.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So all those articles are going to be available exclusively to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com subscribers. All right, Julie, let's get to these points. Now, when you were going through and you were thinking of what these topics would be, where did you, what made you, obviously there could have been a lot more than seven, and there could have been a lot fewer than seven. How did you decide on these seven specific things to help these guys master in preparation for their clients' inquiries?
Great question. It is a combination of what I'm hearing from coaching clients. They'll ask the coaches, they'll ask me on my elite coaching calls, what's going on with these particular topics. I also see a lot of social media chatter about this, and the news headlines, which sometimes are congruent with the facts and many times are not. So we want to make sure that you have the right information in your mind so that you can have great conversations about real estate. Remember, the definition of a contact is a conversation about real estate with a decision-making adult. So if you're going to have a conversation, what should it be about? So I think I put that all into the mix and came up with these particular 7 points. And they're also interrelated to each other, as you'll see in a second. So let's start with number one. I think this is a hot topic, certainly, mortgage market trends. And there's 3 mini points under point number one, mortgage market trends. Mortgage rates have risen from 6.6 to 7.4% over the past 2 months due to a challenging bond market affected by strong job growth and rising inflation. Those are the things that cause rates to inch up. Now, that said, and some of you still are in a little bit of a freak out, 7.4, that sounds so high. Remember that we've already hit the peak, hopefully, that was 8.1% back in October, and that was far worse. We're settling into about the sevenths.
I do want to add this, Julie. The yes. strong job growth, when you really broke into those numbers, there is strong job growth, but a lot of the new jobs that were formed were part-time jobs.
That's true.
And so what's your 2 points, you know, tagging mm-hmm. on each other, the rising inflation. A lot of people, unfortunately, are having to get supplemental income through, you know, obviously second and sometimes third jobs because of the fact things have gotten so expensive.
That's right.
That's just a fact. That's not me being political. So just keep all these things in mind. When they're talking about this strong economy, I heard somebody say, well, you know, the inflation rate's high just because so many people are spending so much money because everyone's got a job. You know, none of those things are really true. The inflation rate's really high because the government's sprint, you know, we owe $31 or $32 trillion, the country does. In addition to that, the inflation rate is also reflective of the fact that there's going to be a lot of, you know, frankly, consternation in the marketplace, not from COVID. Not from, you know, all the global things. It's simply because the government has printed too much money, and too much money is indeed flooding the market and causing prices to rise. You see it in shrinkflation when you go to the grocery store. You see it in, you know, frankly, luxury goods. You're seeing it even everything, even at Walmart, things are getting really expensive. So, you know, when you're feeling the pinch, understand that your clients are as well. It's important that you understand where they're coming from, because in some cases, some of your buyers who were maybe viable last year as buyers aren't going to be this year because of the fact that maybe the inflation hasn't, or the inflation's outpaced their income, things like that. So just, you know, keep all these things in mind, but have a little bit more of a global perspective.
Well, that's right. And the flip side to that, having good employment rates, you know, even if they're part-time jobs, I would take that any day versus what you and I lived through. Remember in the Great Recession, unemployment got to be 11.5%.
For sure.
That was far worse to deal with than what we're dealing with.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so staying on mortgage market trends, the odds of a Fed rate cut at the upcoming meetings have shifted. A rate cut in June is effectively priced out, and the probability of a rate cut in July is now considered 50-50. Now, that said, point number three under mortgage market trends, remember that over 30% of transactions right now, that's closed transactions, are all cash. If your buyers are financing, there are many ways to buy down rates, lock in advantageous 30-year fixed rates, or refinance later. And, you know, I interview our coaching clients about this, of their past deals. What is the nature of those? And I'm hearing if they're not all cash, that a lot of people are putting down like a 50% down payment. And they're perfectly okay with the payment, even if it is in the sevens, and then they plan to refinance or pay it off later.
Yeah.
So it's not all doom and gloom just because rates are not 3.5% anymore. I think the time is coming, and I'm hearing a lot from coaching clients that sevens is normalizing.
Julie, let's close a little loop that I unfortunately opened. So with regards to inflation, the thing that you got to remember is everything is going to get expensive, including rents, but also the homes that your buyers are going to buy, or the homes that your sellers are currently living in. So inflation is a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's a good thing if you have assets. It's a bad thing if you want to buy assets. You guys get it? So when you're dealing with buyers that are a little on the fence because of interest rates, you got to, you know, ask, and let's just say, you know, they're renters or, you know, whatever their situation is. You got to ask them questions based on the information Julie just gave you about what their expectation is about, you know, frankly, inflation. The Fed has basically said that the inflation rate seems like it's going to be long term. And I mean, we're into the third year of inflation, so duh, it's long-term.
Higher for longer, they're saying.
Higher for longer, right. And it's so if the inflation rate is 3-5%, which it is, that means that you're looking at real estate that's going to stay consistently appreciating or inflating by at least, guess what, 3-5%. But in many markets, it's going to be 5-10%. So if a house is $400,000 and it appreciates by 10%, that's $40,000. Even with a higher interest rate, you're going to look at essentially the inflation, the appreciation of that house is going to cover whatever the cost of, you know, the payment on that house. So if someone's paying $2,500 a month and they put $30,000 per year into staying in this house, but the inflation on the house was $40,000, I would say that was a hell of a lot better deal than had they decided to wait and then wait 12 months and have that house appreciate or inflate another 10%. You guys get it? So it's really important, even with rates the way they are, that your buyers buy. And frankly, when opportunity arises, your sellers move up, because they too will be outpriced potentially, and they will regret having waited, because the moral of the story is the inflation is not going away. It was not transitory. It's here to stay until the, you know, there's a whole bunch of global things will have to sort itself out, which we won't talk about on this podcast. But do keep that in mind when you're trying to get people past these higher interest rates. Julie, builder incentives.
Yes, point number two. Well, thank you for sharing that, because I hope you guys are paying attention. Tim rattled off a really great objection handler there with the math that you showed them for when somebody says, I want to wait, or I'm going to hope that prices come down or rates come down. You just very easily demonstrated why waiting is not advantageous.
Well, so prices will, you know, a price is coming down, value's falling. Value's falling is different than a seller lowering their price. And people that don't know anything about real estate will conflate the two. So when you hear and you read these moronic headlines that are saying that home prices are falling, asking prices from overzealous sellers are being reduced. Not the damn same thing. So please do not be confused about that. And here, just breaking it down, making it real simple. If someone paid $400,000 for their house, like, you know, 3 years ago, and they end up selling it for $350,000 and lose $50,000, yep, that would be sellers losing money. But if they take that $400,000 house, now they're selling it for $750,000, they list it for $799,000, and they end up selling it for $775,000. Are you telling me that's the same thing? Hell, it's not. And so don't listen to people telling you that it is. Oh, real estate prices are falling. No, asking prices are falling because sellers were just a little out of alignment with the market's expectations.
Yes, exactly right. Okay, so point number two of your talking points, builder incentives. Now, this is related to the interest rate conversation. Pay attention here, three subpoints. Builders offer various incentives to attract buyers, including closing cost contributions, design center credits, and lowered interest rates through in-house mortgage companies or preferred lenders. So those all come into the category of incentives. Now, if you don't know what your local builders offer, you're not doing your job as a real estate professional. More than 30% of today's available homes for sale are being built, and most of them are being built by builders that have lots of great incentives. There's a huge variety of incentives right now. So here's your homework assignment. Take this week to deep dive into your local new construction market. Visit the model homes, learn about incentives, and use that knowledge to connect with your database via your social media, video production, and good old-fashioned calls to your list of past clients and centers of influence. That's a fantastic talking point.
Well, we've been talking endlessly about new builders and builder incentives and new construction. And if that's available in your marketplace, which it is for most of your markets, most of the markets in the country, there's no doubt in my mind that builders are going to have the unfair advantage, at least probably for the next 5, maybe even 10 years.
Yes.
For all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. So if you're not in alignment with the local builders, if you're not, you know, sending the builders buyers, if you're not hopefully getting listing leads from your builder reps, you need to work on that. We talk about that endlessly in our Premier Coaching program. And you can join Premier Coaching for free. Just go to premiercoaching.com, premiercoaching.com, and you can join for free. Again, that's premiercoaching.com. And yes, the 30-day access that you get for free into Premier Coaching does include piles of books and manuals and forms and scripts. And it does include a daily semi-private coaching call with one of our Harris Certified coaches. So please go to premiercoaching.com or scroll down below and click the link to join. And again, the Premier Coaching Program is the next natural step. Thousands, tens of thousands on some of our shows of you are downloaded and listened to. I think our average podcast between YouTube and all the other platforms, especially iTunes, we're probably 15,000 to 20,000 downloads and listens and views. There are a lot of you who are, you know, essentially building your businesses just off this podcast and you love the information you're getting. Well, we appreciate you appreciating us, but the next natural step is for you to become a Premier Coaching member, because that's really where you're going to take your business to the next level. And you can join for free. So just go to premiercoaching.com. Julie.
All right. So talking point number three, inventory. One of my favorite talking points. Here are the trends. First, national inventory has increased 4.5% month over month to just under 700,000 units, with new listings jumping 16.6% month over month. That's very encouraging news for buyers. You proved that to me last night when you were tooling around online looking in our rental markets, and you said, look at all the inventory.
There was noticeable.
And a lot more.
I do that probably 3 times a week, and I was looking in our, we have a lot of rentals in 43214, 43085, mm-hmm. I bet you it's gone up by 3-4x easily.
Yes, and what the other thing that we noticed was that does not spell lower prices.
No,
in fact, you were giving me all these examples, sharing houses like we know those streets like the back of our hands. Can you believe that this?
Our first year in real estate, we started selling in this zip code 43214. That's where we sold over 100 houses our first year, and we remember when these houses were like, you know, nothing burgers,
$3.
They're like 70 grand, 50 grand,
you know what's so
80
funny?
Grand, and now they're like 300 and 400 grand, and they're all in contract. contract. That was a thing. There was a lot of new listings. There was probably, I don't know, 20 new listings in 43214 in 1 week, but probably 15 of them were already pending at these numbers that were between $300,000 and $400,000. There is no slowdown in home appreciation. That is for sure.
Yes, even with more inventory. That's another headline people like to throw around.
Yep.
Okay, so nationally, this is interesting. We are within 20% of pre-pandemic levels of inventory. And some states, like Florida in particular, are already above pre-pandemic levels. And of course, it's still selling. We're not seeing super long days on the market, and we're not seeing price, you know, depreciation.
Well, you realize, Julie, all of this is underlying the podcast we did a couple of weeks ago, why there is absolutely every reason to believe that this is the start of a long-term housing boom.
Yes.
Really, I think we noticed it probably maybe a month ago.
Yeah, but we needed more inventory for the boom to happen.
Right. And the big reason being that not only the more inventory, but the expectation that rates were going to fall is kind of washed out of most people's minds. So now the, you know, people have gotten past the shock and awe of these higher rates, and now they're ready to move on, buy a house or sell a house. That was what the psychological mooring line of the low interest rates is what really the main driver was to a lot of the stalling up of the market, but that's now washed out.
Yes, and we have a lot of proof of that from coaching clients. I was just talking to Patrick Murphy in Columbus, Ohio, world's most normal market, not coastal, not resort, none of that. And he said, you know, it seems like the buyers have just sort of gotten used to the new rates, which is what we're all waiting for as we got through the shock and awe part.
But remember, if they're moving up from a house for sale and they've owned the house for 3 years, they're probably got 50% equity in whatever they're selling. So the payment doesn't really mean as much if you're putting down 50% on whatever you're buying. Chances are your payment's about the same because you're putting down all that extra equity.
That's right. It's become more of an uneducated realtor objection than an actual buyer objection because the buyers are still buying.
And okay. Let's just jump in here. So there is a lot of talk about first-time buyers being squeezed out and not being able to afford homes. So Julie and I have been in real estate, and I know you're getting on that, but Julie and I have been in real estate since our early 20s. That's always been the story. There's never been a time where it's been a great time to be a first-time buyer, ever.
Because they don't have any equity to bring to the deal.
Exactly. It's always been hard to buy your first house. It's always been like that. And to think that this time's any different just because higher payments or higher prices or higher interest rates, it's not really true. These interest rates, by the way, are not that much. When Julie and I got into the real estate business, the average rate was around what it is now.
Yeah,
around what it is now.
We had a lot of closings over 8, too.
Yeah, and guess what? I mean, people still bought and sold real estate. So don't get too suckered into believing that somehow there's a whole generation of people that won't be able to buy real estate. I heard that there was something, this was on CNBC, which is kind of sus based on that source, but 36% of all would-be first-time buyers have decided that they just will never be able to afford a house. I bet you that's pretty much statistically what it's always been.
Yeah.
I bet you 36% of all viable buyers have always stayed renters just for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I love the word would-be buyers because that kind of throws into maybe everybody who's renting was a would-be buyer.
Well, it was either would-be or all the folks that want to buy a home can't. Well, not everyone should be a homeowner.
That's right.
Owning a home is a big pain in the ass.
It's not for everyone.
No, and maybe you're too transitory or maybe, you know, all kinds of reasons. So
lots of reasons.
I mean, don't get pulled into the, you know, election year grime with regards to all these things that are, you know, confusing a lot of people, buyers and sellers especially.
That's right. Staying on inventory for a second. No more excuses for not finding something to sell to your qualified buyers. Some of those buyers are would-be sellers. When was the last time you spoke with all those folks who said, I'd sell, but what would I buy? Maybe with more inventory, you can answer that question.
All right, point number four, and this is a really great one. Millennial home buyers, and we aren't even talking about the follow-up generations past the millennials, but go ahead.
So millennials comprised 38% of total home buyers last year, reclaiming their position as the largest buying group from baby boomers. And 28% of buyers are indeed first-time buyers, proving that even 7% plus rates are not stopping them. I think that's gone from like normally in a quote normal market, which has been a long time, but in a normal market, about 32% of buyers are first-time. So now it's dropped, to 28%. Not a huge, you know, change there.
So they're now saying that the average first-time buyer is 38 years old, and it used to be 28 years old. Now, they're saying it's because houses are more expensive and interest rates are even higher, but I don't think that's true. The reason that the average age of the first-time buyer is now older than it used to be isn't because they don't want to buy, or isn't because they can't afford the payment. It's just it's because there's not anything for them to buy because there's a lack of inventory. Again, manipulation of the statistics, so you got to be cutting through it. So when you're having these conversations with prospective buyers and sellers, you're going to be able to give them the flip side to the clickbaity headline that they just read on MSNBC or whatever.
Very well put and very true. Point number five, home purchase sentiment index. When you hear economists talk, they just say HPSI, but I wanted to make sure you knew what that was. Home purchase sentiment index. Fannie Mae's HPSI declined slightly in March, driven by higher mortgage rate expectations. However, the percentage of people who perceive it as a good time to buy rose to its highest level in 9 months, indicating potential adaptation to mortgage rates around 7%. Just exactly what we were talking about. Okay, now overall market conditions.
Point number seven,
thank you. Nationwide, the inventory of homes for sale has increased by 24% yearly, with the March 2024 figure marking the best March since 2020.
So that's incredible. I have to understand that point. So you're saying it's increased by 24%? Since last year, the same month. Wow, that's spectacular.
Which is the best it's been since March 2020. And that's when it hit the wall.
If that carries through, then hypothetically, and actually I'm doing the math in my head, that's as interesting. Mm-hmm. So last year we had around 4.2 or 3 million home sales, not including new construction, I think it was something like that.
It was right around just under four.
And now this year they're predicting roughly, guess what, 25% more home sales. So that puts us up around the 5 million mark. So maybe what we're seeing here is that prediction play out with the increase in inventory.
Absolutely we are. You know, back then when, you know, inventory got to its absolute lowest, I think it probably was back March or April of 2020, it was only 224,000 homes in the entire country. That's crazy. That's like nothing, okay? Very close to nothing for sale. Now we're up almost to 700,000. You remember we were talking about, oh no, what would happen if you woke up and you had three times the inventory? Well, we're doing that now. We're waking up when we have nearly three times that inventory. What you're seeing is it's burning right off. Buyers are buying it. And even though, you know, last night we were looking at in Columbus, those zip codes, I bet you all that stuff's in contract by the weekend.
Well, so to answer your question, yes, that was already true. But now a lot of people, those homes in that zip code that Julie and I were talking about, you know, they're mostly less than $400,000. Well, I looked into the secondary market that Julie and I also used to sell real estate in, which was New Albany Country Club, which was 43054. So we started out in a low price range and we moved to a really very expensive price range. And guess what was happening there? Same exact thing.
Interesting.
Yep. And these are houses that were mostly, let's say on the low end, maybe 900,000 all the way up to several million. And those houses were all selling off too. Now the days in the market was longer, but they were still selling.
Sure.
There's such a huge amount of pent up demand for real estate, for people to transact. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced like anything like this the whole time we've been selling real estate.
No, well, it wasn't common to have three offers for everything that's sold.
That's a real number, guys. Three offers for every one sale. That's what we're experiencing. And how is that different from the last year? Do you remember? Wasn't it five offers?
It was five or six. And in some markets, it was as much as 20. I do still have coaching calls. I'm thinking of like Tammy in Northern Virginia. She still occasionally gets over 10 offers on something. Yep. So it's very local. But nationwide, 3-to-1, that literally is the definition of supply and demand, isn't it?
Yep. Well, I mean, just think about this. So let's say, for example, you're selling real estate in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
And let's say somebody's thinking about buying a house and they have a $400,000 budget and they're all, you know, worried about the interest rate. And you just simply, it goes back to the first point we talked about. You simply explain to them that there's a high likelihood that $400,000 house is going to inflate in value by maybe upwards to 10%. I mean, that's not unheard of. I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. And then ask them what they think. If they're renting, ask them, compare that to what their rental expense is going to be. Rents are going to increase. Inflation is, there's nothing, there. I don't think there's any, actually, you know what, I was about to say no price has been lowered, but I saw Starlink lowered their price.
Did they really?
Yeah, Elon Musk lowered the price on Starlink, wasn't it?
Huh.
Yeah. Fascinating.
I wonder what he's thinking, because he absolutely doesn't have to do that. They're already cheaper than everything
cheaper.
Else.
I mean, you have basically unlimited for $120 a month.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
I got to follow that story.
But for the most part, there's not a single thing you can think of that's less expensive. Nope. And rents are going to increase. Not because the greedy, you know, landlords. It's because property taxes is going up. Homeowners insurance has gone through the roof. You know, just finding someone to do repairs on a house has gone through the roof. Everything is going to continuously get more and more expensive. And eventually, and unfortunately, you're seeing a lot of this, you know, increased employment. So people are getting second and third jobs to keep up with the inflation rate. Soon, I think you'll see that wage inflation will actually really kick in a meaningful way. And it's been slow. That's really what the laggard is in any inflationary period historically, that the last thing that increases are people's wages. But that's obviously going to start happening as well. And then we'll be in this new reality where whatever the old prices were, people just, like when Julie and I were looking, thinking back to how cheap the houses were that we used to sell when they were like 70 grand and people would go, I'm not paying 70 grand for that. And now that house is 400. I mean, everyone's going to be experiencing that within probably 2 or 3 years
for sure.
About everything. Julie, do you remember an egg was only $10?
I know, exactly. It recalibrates, doesn't it? Okay, so what to do this week? Join Premier Coaching, go to your daily semi-private coaching sessions to polish your skills, boost your production, and be surrounded by like-minded superstars like you. If you haven't joined yet, I don't know why you are delaying. And next thing to do this week, use the talking points from today's show to make more connections. How many conversations are you having daily about real estate? Calls, videos, coffee with past clients, meetups, and clubs are all easy ways to show you're a knowledgeable professional. Don't be a secret agent. Don't forget, tour your local new construction to understand those builder incentives that we were talking about. But the more conversations you have, we've given you 7 talking points, and within those points were a bunch of subpoints as well. So you really have no excuse to be a secret agent.
That's right. So listen, guys, thank you for keeping this the number one daily podcast for real estate professionals in the United States. Where we rank on iTunes varies by the day, but frankly, by the number of podcasts that, number of you that downloaded usually our newest show. But we've been top 10, and this is of 5 million podcasts. That's how many there are in the world in that business category. We're in the business careers category. But that's pretty magnificent, and that's because you love what you're hearing from this podcast. Please say thank you by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes and give us a comment as to why you like the podcast. It makes a big difference to us. Julie and I always read and appreciate those very favorable 5-star reviews. So if you've not done so yet, please do so. We certainly appreciate it. In the meantime, we will talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.